If you are just joining us this week, we've been going and working through. We started a series last week, a series of four messages that are loosely based on four different Christmas carols. And our goal is to kind of use these carols as a springboard, as a springboard for our messages. And last week we looked at the carol, O Holy Night. And for some of us, if you were here last week, you learned some disturbing information about the authors of that carol, and I hope it didn't wreck it for you in any way. But while we learned some information about the carol, we also engaged on some truth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. There is a thrill of hope for us in our weary moments. And because of Christ, there is a new and glorious morn coming. Today we're going to use the carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. And I'm sure, however, you'll be happy to know that this carol, as far as we know, was written by Christians. And it actually has a long history, possibly dating back to the 13th century, used by monks and priests. But generally speaking, the sort of accepted author of this carol was a man by the name of John Francis Wade, who lived in the 1700s, starting his life in England and ending his life hiding in France in a Catholic community. He wrote the song in Latin, and it was called Adeste Fidelis, and it was translated into English in the 1800s by a Catholic priest named Frederick Oakley. Now, the complete history of this carol, I'm not going to go into. It's a little bit complex. And so what I have said is, if you want to know really the in-depth, complex history of this carol, I can tell it to you after the service. Come, I'd be happy to give it to you. But the part of the problem is that the part of it is speculation. And so I didn't want to stand up here and spend long times going into just mere speculation as far as this carol goes. And so I'd love to tell it to you because it's really interesting, but we'll leave that for after. So if the curiosity gets the better of you, come and ask me and I'll give you that. But before we get into this message this morning, let's ask God just to meet us here. And let's ask him to speak to us here this morning. God, we just come to you today. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for this last week, Father. God, I know that some people here faced some great challenges. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that even in the midst of our challenges, God, you never leave us. You walk with us through those. God, I thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord Jesus. And God, this morning as we come to you today, God, we want to hear you. We want to hear what you would have to say. We want to meet with you today, God. We want to hear your word to us, Lord Jesus. And so, God, I just pray for all of us here that, Lord, you would open our hearts and our minds, God, today just to receive from you, Lord, what you would have us to receive. And God, we look to you, God, to speak. So God, would you do that? And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. When I sing this song, O Come All Ye Faithful, joyful and triumphant, I like it. It kind of reminds me, it gives me good Christmas memories. Yesterday, we went out and we cut down our own Christmas tree out in Fort Langley. And as we were cutting it down, you could hear blaring over the speakers, O Come All Ye Faithful, joyful and triumphant. And I thought, oh, that's such a great song. It reminds me of sitting around a fire. It reminds me of things like eggnog. It's a great thing. But a lot of times, I don't put a lot of thought into the Christmas carols that I hear. I kind of was thinking this week, maybe they just seem to all be saying the same thing. Essentially, come worship babe Jesus. And so while I think that's a great message, I don't always look into the words of those songs. Because I pretty much think, I know really what they're going to say, I know what it's about, I know what I'm proclaiming. But when I think about it more, when I look a little closer at this particular carol, at this particular song, and I look at the words, they're calling us. And who are they calling? Who are they calling to come and worship? How are they telling us to come? The song starts, "Come, all ye faithful. Come, those who are full of faith. Come full of joy. Come full of triumph." Now, on a good day, maybe. But oftentimes, I don't really feel that way. Now, I don't know where you are at, but oftentimes I don't feel super faithful. And actually, if I was to look closely at my life, I feel like my life has had a lot of faithless moments in it. A lot of moments where I didn't trust. A lot of doubt-filled moments. A lot of moments where, to be completely honest with you, I lacked some surrender. And I can remember moments when I felt God calling me to some action, and the only things that are running through my mind are, how can I get out of this? I don't want to do this, Lord. And often it's left me feeling less than joyful and less than triumphant. Sometimes I feel like a failure. And I don't know if that you can identify with this or not, but my hunch is that there are moments in your life when you can. I guess that because we're human, and I don't want to use that as an excuse as much as a fact or a reality. But as I looked at this song a little closer, and I thought about the song, and I thought about the lyrics of this song, I had to ask the question that while this song calls the faithful, while this song calls the joyful, calls the triumphant, I wonder who is it that Jesus calls? Who is it that Jesus calls and says, hey, come and worship me? And at the onset, it is a very different crowd. One that you and I could probably identify with more than the first group. Who is it Jesus calls? Well, first off, Jesus calls the weary and the burdened. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. We talked a little bit about that last week. We talked about the weary world. And if that's you, weary and burdened, Jesus is calling you. Come, worship. Who else did Jesus call? Well, secondly, Jesus calls the sinners. In Matthew 9:12-13, he says this, on hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. I've come to call the sinners. Come, worship me. And what is very interesting about this last verse here in Matthew 9 is actually verse 11, the one that comes right before it. You see, the Pharisees, they were with Jesus' earshot there, and Jesus could hear them. And he actually says this in response to what the Pharisees had said. In verse 11, this is what the Pharisees said. So when the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? See, here's the thing. These guys, these Pharisees that were asking these questions, they thought of themselves as the faithful, the triumphant. I'm not sure if they would have thought of themselves as the joyful or not, but the faithful and the triumphant. If that was the call, come all ye faithful, then the Pharisees, they would have been the first in line. I am here. And so you see, Jesus, he doesn't really call that type of person, the faithful, the joyful, the triumphant. Matter of fact, he probably calls the exact opposite, as we read, the weary, the burden, the sinners. But the great thing about Jesus is that when we respond to his call, as a lot of you, I know a lot of you, and I know a lot of you have responded to his call, come and worship. He doesn't leave us in that state. A weary, burdensome sinner. He changes us. He does something in us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Your old spirit is gone, there's a new one. Where you were once by nature an enemy of God, you are now a son of God. Adopted into his family, a joint heir with Christ, set free from the bondage and prison of sin. Now, as the Bible says, once this has been changed, this new you is there. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, now it's time to allow this new you to work itself out. Allow it into every area of your body. Allow it into every area of your mind. Philippians 2:12 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Throughout the rest of your body, let this new work that I have done in you come out in every area. Let it permeate your actions. Allow it free reign in your life. To let your new King, Christ, work himself out of every area of your being. Let it come out in how you raise your kids. Let it come out in your workplace. Let it come out and change the way that you think and live. Let it have access to your mind. Don't hide anything from it. Allow it to come out, to work its way out in every area of your life. And it can speak truth into your mind and who you are now in Christ. So what is Christ doing? We were once burdened, weary sinners. And Jesus says, come, and we come, and he changes us. And now, as followers of Christ, what is Jesus doing? What is he up to in us? There is a few things, and I'm going to ask three questions and hopefully answer all three questions this morning. But they have to do with our carol, O come, all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. The first question is this: what is this Savior doing in your life? What is he doing? Well, if we look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says this. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What is the Savior up to in your life? He's growing your faith. He is, the Bible said, the perfecter of your faith. He is not only the author of your faith, the one who began it and started this work in you, he is also the perfecter of your faith. You see, you and I are on a journey. The Bible in Hebrews, like we were just reading the verse before that, likens our journey to a race. I think of it not as a sprint, but a marathon. I'm sure that if you were to look at our life from eternal perspective, maybe it would seem more like a sprint. But in our perspective, it's more like a marathon. And over the course of this journey, God is shaping us and molding us in his desired way. And how does he do that, you might ask? He uses a couple of things mostly. A couple of things that he uses is often our experiences, our circumstances that we walk through. And he uses his word. And oftentimes we can face really trials and real horrible circumstances in our life. And Jesus will come and will walk beside us as we walk through these things. And he teaches us things as we go and we learn about God's faithfulness. We learn about his truth as we walk through this experience. But the second thing he wants to do is he wants to take his word and he wants to use it to build your faith. He wants to take you through this experience and he wants to couple it with the truth of his word and speak truth into you. And as he does, build your faith. I want you to give you a little example. I want you to take a second. And I want you to think of a challenge that you are facing. Maybe this week you've been there's a real challenge in your life, either in your work. Maybe there's something you're going to be facing this next week. Maybe there is an issue or a challenge in your family right now. Or maybe you have a health scare. I don't know what it is. But maybe whatever the challenge is that you are facing, I want you to think about it for a second. I want you to think about it. And as you think about it, I'm going to read a portion of Scripture. And what I want you to do is I want you to just sit. And if you want, you can close your eyes for a second. But the point of this is that you just allow this Scripture that I'm going to read to wash over you. Just like you're sitting on a beach, this Scripture, just let it wash over you. The waves would come over. Let this Scripture wash over you. So here it is, Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And as you just sit and allow the truth of that to wash over your soul, what does it do? It begins to build their faith. Tomorrow I'm going to face some really tough challenges. Maybe this afternoon I'm going to face some tough challenges. But God, you're with me. You walk through the waters with me. And it builds our faith. Romans 10:17 says that consequently faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. And sometimes we can walk through trials and we learn of God's faithfulness. And when he speaks to us like this through these things, it builds our faith. Sometimes we can think, I'm not so full of faith. But let me tell you, God is not only the author of your faith, he's also the perfecter of it. And as we surrender to him, your faith will begin to grow. As you allow the truth of God's scripture, the truth of God's voice to speak into you as he walks through these experiences and your experiences with you, your faith will grow, and it won't be long until you'll be full of faith. So we know what God is doing. He's building your faith. What does he want you to experience is the second question. What does he want you to experience? Essentially, I think God really wants you to experience the Spirit being let loose in your life. He wants you to experience himself having free reign in your body. God wants you to experience the fruit of all of this happening as well. And if we look in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 to 25, it's a familiar passage. And I'm sure most of us know it well. But it reads like this. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful natures with his passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Here it is. The fruit of the Spirit, essentially, is the outward manifestation of the inner working of the Holy Spirit in your life. And he wants you to experience all of it. But again, it comes as we surrender to him. As we surrender to what God wants to do, as we allow him free reign in our life, allowing freedom for God's Spirit to do what he wants to do in us. This is actually part of Philippians 2, what we read, allowing the working out of our salvation, the allowing his Spirit to have free reign in us. And what are one of those fruits that God wants you to experience? Well, in light of our song, O Come All Ye Faithful, Joyful. He wants you to experience joy. But joy in your life does not come from your circumstances. Happiness might. I see happiness depending on happenings. But joy, it comes from the outflow of the Spirit in your life. I believe that the fruit of the Spirit can transcend your circumstances. I believe that your circumstances can be downright awful, and they may be of no fault of your own. But in the midst of your circumstance, I believe that you can experience the fruit, the joy of God. And I want you to know that I think as I thought and pondered this, I don't see that as kind of like a switch in our lives. You know, our happenings are going great and so we're happy and life is wonderful. And then our life comes crumbling down and then we just sort of walk over here. And I say, I think there's a safety net over here of joy and we just sort of flick the switch. Oh, it's all good again. I think it is a little different. I think in times it can be like that. But I think it's a little different. As I said, joy comes through a submission to the Spirit. And that's a learned thing, I think. And the more we do it, the more we allow the free reign of the Spirit in our life, the easier it becomes until it becomes a way of life. And it takes practice because our flesh doesn't like submitting. I'm not sure if you've noticed that in your own self or not, but we don't like it too much. And we're going to talk a little bit about that next week. But this week, we're talking about allowing and surrendering to allow God's Spirit to work in and through us. And I think that there is that this has to happen on a daily basis. Sometimes I think it has to happen on a moment-by-moment basis as we submit to the Lord in a completely honest heart that says, God, you know, I want to submit to you today. I want you to be in charge today, Lord. Help me to allow your Spirit to control me. And as you learn to give over every moment, as you learn to walk in submission to the Spirit, there are some wonderful fruits of this Spirit that become evident in your life. Joy, peace, all those ones that we read about. Some great and wonderful things that you get to experience as we submit to the Spirit in our lives. The third thing, what do you already possess as a Christian? Well, the answer is this. The answer is victory. You are triumphant. You may not realize it, you may forget it, but rest assured that if you have accepted Christ's offer of salvation, you are victorious. Not because of your own greatness, not because of your own ability to win, but rather because of His greatness. It was what He won on the cross that makes you triumphant. Now, like I just said, you know, you might not always feel triumphant, but our feelings don't always dictate the reality of a situation. The Bible says that those are who are in Christ Jesus, that they're not just conquerors. You are not just a conqueror. It goes on, it says, actually, you are more than a conqueror. Romans 8:37 says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Our problem is that a lot of times our feelings, they often dictate how we act. And the enemy knows this, and so if he can get you to feel defeated, even though you are not, well, he gets his way. When we feel like we have failed, we end up acting like failures, not the victorious people we are because of Christ. During World War II, there was a U.S. general named General Wainwright. And when General MacArthur fell back to Australia to command forces from a different location at the beginning of the war, General Wainwright inherited his job as being in charge of the Allied forces in the Philippines. And on May 6, 1941, after the enemy had attacked them, they were grossly unprepared for this attack. The enemy was winning. And so General Wainwright, in the interest of saving lives, surrendered to the Japanese and became the highest-ranking officer to ever be captured. Now, you might think that because of his rank that maybe they would treat him nicer in the POW camps. Maybe they would be treated with a little more dignity. But he wasn't. He was treated with the same starvation and beatings that the regular servicemen were. And in 1945, after 4 years of beatings, starvations, mental and physical torture, the camp where he was held was liberated. The story goes that when the person came to tell General Wainwright that he was now a free man, he had been liberated. The guards were standing around him. They were so used to beating him and watching his every move, they actually moved in to beat him down again. And instead of just taking it like usual, General Wainwright stood up and he said, "No more. I am in charge now." And so this skinny, gaunt, beaten down little man took charge. What happened? What changed in his situation? Well, very simply, he acted on the information that he had received. And while his location didn't change, he had no more strength than he had 5 minutes before. His captors were still there. He was still wearing the stinking, dirty clothes. That information that he was free, that he had been liberated, and that these captors were no longer in charge anymore, changed everything. And I think a lot of times the enemy wants you to think of yourself still as a captive, still being held in bondage, still, maybe if you're good enough, you might be able to win. But the truth of your situation is you have won. Christ won the battle on the cross. When he died and he rose again, And when we get a good picture of what Christ has done, it changes how we live, just like it did for General Wainwright 67 years ago. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 says, "But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Colossians 2:15, "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." John 16:33, Jesus, he's comforting his disciples as he's telling them that he is going. And he tells them this. He says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Disciples, if you get this, this changes everything. And just like General Wainwright knew that there were some hardships still to endure, he knew that he was victorious. And it caused him to walk and act in such a way. And Christ has won the victory for us. So you and I too can come and worship today, not as failures, but as victors. Not as defeated ones, but as triumphant ones. And maybe this morning you might struggle to see yourself like this. And maybe this morning you just have to tell yourself this. Tell yourself how it is. Tell the enemy of your soul how it is. And when he goes to beat you down one more time, as General Wainwright stood up, "No more. Christ has won my victory." As we first looked at this song, we can feel like maybe we have failed. I'm not so faithful, not so joyful, not so triumphant. And maybe in and of ourselves that might be true. But like most things in this walk with Christ, this isn't about you. It's about Christ's work in and through you. So come. Come and worship. Come and worship Christ the Lord. O come, all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. O come, all ye who God is still working on as the perfecter of their faith. O come to him who desires you to know his everlasting joy. O come, all you who through his death on the cross has made you more than a conqueror, who has made you triumphant. Come, let us adore him. Glory in the highest. Glory where it belongs. Glory to God. The team is going to come and we're going to sing this song together. I hope they are here. Oh, good, they are here. Would have been a long song with me strumming away on that guitar. I could do a solo, I could. They're gonna lead us in this song together, and then we're going to pray and we'll dismiss. Oh, come, let us adore him. Yes, indeed. Why don't we pray, and then we'll dismiss together. God, we just come to you today. And Lord Jesus, we thank you. God, we thank you that you called the sinners. We thank you that you called the weary and the burden. That's us, God. You called us to come and worship. And we did. And you changed us. You made us a new creation. And God, you're still doing stuff in our lives, God. You're creating this faith in us. You're building this faith. God, I thank you for that. God, I thank you that as we submit to you, we can experience such a wonderful joy. God, I thank you that because of the cross, we are now more than conquerors. We're victorious. We're triumphant. And God, we don't take any of this as our own. It is all by a work of the Spirit and a work of God. And so God, this morning we come and adore you. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. So God, I just pray for each one of these people that's here today. God, I don't know what their week holds here. But Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would walk with them, God. I thank you, God, that you will walk with them, as we read in Isaiah. God, I thank you that you will build their faith. And Lord Jesus, we just give you our week. And I pray that we'll walk in the knowledge that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So be glorified in our lives, that we pray. Be honored in Jesus' name. Amen.